here and answer any questions you might have about Lake Country Bible Church. And there'll be a basket beside the door on the way out, and you can just drop that in that basket and give us a little information about yourself. So we thank you very much for joining us this morning, and we'll just praise the Lord.
Good morning, folks. Okay, this is going to make Wesley happy. I'm actually going to remember to do the announcements first. Announcements are as follows. Prayer meeting every Sunday at 9 a.m. Everyone is welcome to join in the prayer of our nation, church, families, and unspoken needs. That is in this room right back over here. It's led by the lovely Miss Ruth over here to, Mr. Ray too. I'm always doing something wrong here. There's a women's Bible study every Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. Terry Buckler is leading the women's Bible study. They're studying the book of Joshua right now. All the ladies are invited. Men, if you wish to come, Ray will be here and we'll take and discuss the ways of the world and how to fix all the problems of the world, and we'll have everything situated by the time the women get out of the Bible studies. That's all. That's what we know. Men do not gossip.
No.
Wednesday night services, prayer and Bible study at 6 p.m. Everyone is welcome. Freddie Coyle will be here on Sunday, March 19th. That gives me and this man behind me a break. And if you've never seen Freddie Coyle, please be here for it. He's very enjoyable. He's very articulate, and he teaches a wonderful grace message. So please make time. Come here for that one. You will not be disappointed. And then movie night is this Friday, at 7 p.m. We're showing Acts to Revelation, Drive Through History. Everyone is available, and it's completely free. So enjoy, come down and have a little fellowship on Friday night, watch a movie, and go on home. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much, as always, for the finished work of Christ on the cross. We would not be here if it wasn't for the price paid for our salvation. Father, we can never stop thanking you enough for that. We pray that as we walk through our lives here, as we walk this Christian existence on earth, you have given us a wonderful country to take it and proclaim it from, Father. And when we ask that, we would never shy away from being your spokesman, your ambassador for Christ, as we do our walk every day on this earth. Father, give us the ability to proclaim your name in grace and truth to everybody we meet. I pray for the people that are not here this morning, that they would bring us back to us. And Father, I pray that you would continually bless this congregation as we go forward in proclaiming the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Good morning again. Our scripture reading this morning, let me get my paper up. Is from 1 John chapter 2, 1 through 10. 1 John chapter 2, 1 through 10. If you have your Bibles, please open up there and read with me, as sometimes my reading is not perfect. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him.
Living with somebody. I'll get my mic turned on here. Is that all right?
Try that.
Keep you awake. Brad, we appreciate what you do for us. You fill a very important place. Brenda, it's always, always a pleasure to sit and listen to you play. Sounds like Brad got turned on, plugged in last night. I don't know what is, you know, going on, but I'll have to talk to him about that. And then, Terry, you forgot to use that word this morning. It's superfluous. You just forgot it. So I guess we'll have to get on along without using the word superfluous. That's a new word for Terry. Was for me. I don't use it every day either. I understand there was a little boy waiting for his mother coming out of the grocery store, and as he waited, a man came up to him and asked him where the post office was. And the little boy said, "Well, down the street, two blocks, turn left, right there on the right." The guy thanked him, and he said, "Oh, by the way," he said, I'm the new pastor today, at the local church, the big church down on the corner." And he said, "If you'll come and listen," he said, "I'll tell you how to get to heaven." The little boy says, "You don't even know the way to the post office, and you're going to tell me how to get to heaven." I also know that there was an account of a little girl who asked her mother, "Mommy, where did people come from?" Her mama answered, "Well, God made Adam, God made Eve, and they had children. And then they had children, and that's where man came from." Little girl seemed satisfied. She walked away. A few days later, she came up and asked her father and said, "Daddy, where do people come from?" He said, "Well," he said, "scientists tell us that we evolved from monkeys. And it was a long evolution process, and we just evolved from monkeys. And that's how we got here." Little girl seemed a little bit confused, and she went to her mommy. And she said, "Mommy, why, when I ask you where people come from, you say that God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and that's where we came from. While Daddy said we evolved from monkeys, and that's where we came from." Her mother said, "Well, darling," she said, "I was just telling you about my side of the family. I don't know about your daddy's side of the family." So that's where children come from. It was a great service, sort of like the one that Brad was out at last night. Little boy got excited, and so he told his mama after the service, he said, "Mama, I think I'm going to be a preacher." And she said, "Well, son, that's great." She said, "That's marvelous, but what caused you to want to be a preacher?" He said, well, he says, I think it'd be a whole lot more fun standing up front yelling at people than sitting back listening. So I'll try not to yell this morning. It's good to look out and see each one that's here. Let me encourage you. Do me a big favor if you would. Please, please, please make every attempt possible to be here to hear Dr. Freddie Coyle. I've known Dr. Freddie Coyle since before he became a doctor. And I think I knew Freddie before he even knew how to walk. I've known him since 95. And what a gift that friendship has been to me. And he's going to be here, and he'll be ministering to us the 19th of this month. So I would encourage you to come, be sure and be here. And if at all possible, bring somebody with you. I'd love to have several more folks than what we have today, but it's still good to look out and see you. And I want to welcome you and those visitors who have returned for another dose. Thank you very much for being here again. We love visitors, and God loves us. Gave his son that we might have eternal life as a free gift. God's word tells us very plainly, it's for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. And so it's not of works. We can't work. We can't brag of those things, but we can rejoice in the simplicity of the gospel that is ours through Christ. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for each one of those that are here this morning. We pray, Father, for those that are here in spite of not feeling well. And maybe, Father, would rather be home and resting and taking care of their ailments. But, Father, they're here. And, Father, we ask that you would bless them extra special good today. And, Father, we do thank you for those who've returned again and visit our church. We pray, Father, that they find it welcoming. And we thank you so much for them also. We ask now, Father, the leadership of the Holy Spirit as we look into this, your word. You've preserved it for us down through the ages. And Father, that's grace. And Father, we thank you so much for that. Father, guide our thoughts, guide our understanding, and we'll give you the honor and praise. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord this Sunday morning. We're looking in 1 John chapter 2, and if you would turn there with me, if you would, and otherwise, I have all the scriptures here, and we'll be able to take care of you not maybe wanting to turn, but we welcome you anyway. 1 John 2:1, my little children. What a description. John is writing to those that he has a heartfelt desire for their good in their walk with the Lord. He might have and probably did lead a lot of these people that he's writing to here in 1 John, probably led them to the Lord. He experienced their lives firsthand. He knew of their desire to walk as Christ walked. And so he addresses them as my little children. The tenderness of an aged pastor. I used to not understand that, but I understand that now. I'm aged myself. And those who are dear to us, that we've had opportunity to minister to, and even lead them to the Lord back years ago. They're tender. I have tender feelings towards them. They're my kind of people. They love the Lord. They want to have a life honoring and glorifying to the Lord. But this greeting that John writes is from almost like an aged pastor to his children in the Lord. And so he goes on and he says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. It's almost like in a courtroom where the attorney is there. He's the defense attorney. He is the advocate for one for those that are accused. And John is writing and he said, our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Christ is at the right hand of God, even this morning, making intercession for us in our walk with Him. It's an encouragement to know that Christ is our advocate. When we lay in bed at night and we realize that our conversation may not have been what it should have been, maybe our walk is not what our walk should be, maybe the world cannot look at our walk and our lives and see Christ in us, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a friend, if you would, with the Father. And He is there pleading our case. My little children, sons and daughters, young and old, John is writing to and encouraging them with the fact that we have an advocate with the Father. We find here that this is the third factor that we find in our study in the book of 1 John, having fellowship with the Father and Christ. It's one of the things that we need to understand. God's arrangement for a believer not to sin is perfect, but our inability to fill that role without sinning is present. An advocate, one who pleads our case, Christ is there, even this morning, saying, Father, I died for that sin. I died for that problem that they're having because of their old nature. I am their advocate. I paid their price. I paid what was due in payment for their actions. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, we read, and He is the propitiation. That's almost as strange for people to hear and understand as superfluous, Terry. He's our perfect sacrifice, propitiation. Perfect sacrifice, meaning everything has been paid in full. The account has been cleared. There is no offense. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Ours. He used a plural term, more than one. John there is admitting his imperfection in his walk, our sins. He is there, both Jew and Gentile, John is speaking of, both male and female. No matter how old or how young, how rich or how poor, and he says, and He is the perfect sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Terry mentioned that this morning in Sunday school. He is the payment, or He made the payment for all people from all times, and all who will trust Christ as their personal Savior, as well as those who have not trusted Christ. God's love is just as strong for them as it is for you and I, who know Christ as our personal Savior. And I've thought about that many times in my walk with the Lord. How could God love and fill in the blank? Their lifestyle, their language. How could He love them like He does those who know Him as their Savior? How could He? I don't understand all of that. There's people around the world who actually hate the name of Jesus Christ. They do not believe in one God, in three persons. They hate that. They persecute those who believe that. And yet God's love for them is just the same as His love for you and I. Without the defense, His defense, the sinning child would be in deep trouble without Christ making intercession for them. He that was sacrificed for our sin, paid for our debt, He is our advocate before the Father. He is not for ours only, as John said, but also for the sins of the whole world, both believer and unbeliever. What a defender we have in the person of Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. He is rich in mercy, propitiation. He poured out His life blood on the cross to pay for our sin. He bore our pain. He bore the separation from a holy God. He went to the cross for you and I. He is rich in mercy, the basis on which God extends mercy. 1 John 2:3, and hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Obedience to Christ is the basis of assurance. We go on and we read in verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. We find in 1 John 2:4, He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Disobedience to Christ is a proof that we still have that old sin nature. 2:5, but whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. So we find these things in the book of 1 John, in the earliest chapters and verses of 1 John. And we want to look further in the 1 John chapter 2 and following. We find this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. He that saith he abideth in Him ought also himself also to walk even as He walked. Christ set an example for us. He led a sinless, perfect life. Remember, He was God-man. He had all of the temptations, all of the opportunities to fall in His walk, to stumble in His walk. But John says, He that saith he abideth in Him ought also himself to walk. And he uses a little phrase here, even as He walked. We know how He walked. We know from the Scriptures. We know how He walked. He walked in sinless perfection. And John here is saying that we ought also to walk in sinless perfection. You say, but Mike, I fail. I do too. Every believer fails. That's the reason we have God provided advocate making intercession for us. We find that 1 John started in little children. We find here in verse 7, he begins, brethren. Brethren. That means a lot as we think about who we know who knows Christ as their Savior, other believers. Who do we know? How do they walk? How do we walk? Are our walks like Christ's walk? Little children, brethren. That means little children means young people. It means fathers. It means mothers. My brethren. I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. This old commandment is the word which ye've heard from the beginning. We find in verse 7 here that there is a new commandment. And he said, you've heard it from the beginning. From the beginning of Christ's earthly ministry, you've heard him expound upon this, should we say, commandment. But I find it more an encouragement. You've had from the beginning, you've heard it from the very first of Christ's earthly ministry. It's not an old commandment, except it was old in the fact that it had been around a while. It wasn't a new commandment just being revealed. It was the same commandment that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his apostles and his disciples when he was with them here on this earth. Brethren, it's the same commandment that he repeated over and over and over again. Many times, the commandment, love one another. That's the commandment that he has. He's given. He continues to encourage us in our walk. Is to love one another. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I know many times, you can ask Nancy, sometimes I'm hard to love. It's funny, sometimes she says, I love you, but I don't like you. Sometimes, you see, ever feel that way? Your wife ever tell you that? Your husband ever tell you that? I love you, but I don't like you. Well, the encouragement here is almost about the same, that you love one another. In spite of the faults, in spite of the things that are wrong in our walk with the Lord, we ought to love one another. We're in the family, if you would, the family of God. Love one another. Some people are just hard to love. Now, we need a good understanding of the word love. Maybe I'll do a series on love. But sometimes we don't feel inclined to be, let me say this, to have warm, fuzzy feelings when somebody, another believer, maybe attacks us in some way. But there is a way to love them in spite of the fact that you don't necessarily care to be around them. We can love them. We can pray for them. We can encourage them, if they will. And we can just rest in our walk with the Lord that they will come around to the place that God would have them be in their life. We find in verse 8, again, a new commandment. He first says it's an old commandment because Christ espoused it from the day he began his earthly ministry and probably before that. We find that this new commandment, I write unto you, John says, which thing is true in him and in you because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Darkness is past. Do you think that in John's day that the darkness of this old world was past? No. No. We find today, is the darkness past? No. It doesn't take much. You can get the different news channels, and you can find all of the troubles that are going on in this old world. The wars, the rumors of wars, the murders, the attacks, the rapes, all of these, the thefts, the robberies, all of these things, politicians calling one another names, the darkness isn't past. But what John is actually saying here, love one another, Christ says, as I loved you, a new motive, a new motive. We love them, not because we necessarily like them, but we love them because God loves them. Have you ever been in a friendship relationship with an individual and you come to find out that they are really close friends, just as close friends with this person than they are with you or me, and we see that they love that person? Maybe we didn't care for that person a whole lot. Maybe we didn't pay them a whole lot of attention. But now we are faced with the fact that our friend, our dear friend, is dear friends with this other individual. Love them because they are being loved by a person who loves you and loves them too. That makes it easier. So we find here that this old commandment, this new commandment, love one another. Do we love one another? It's easy to say, boy, I sure love the Lord. That's easy to say. But sometimes it's hard to say, boy, I sure love, and you fill in the blanks. I have that problem myself. We find in John chapter 15, verse 12, John is writing in his Gospel of John, "This is my commandment," Christ said, "that ye love one another as I have loved you." What an opportunity we have to show forth the love of Christ if we love as He loves us. Doors are opened. We find obstacles in sharing the gospel are lowered or else completely removed. When we love one another, we find, continuing on in verse 8, and again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past. The word that is used there actually means is passing. It doesn't mean that it's gone, removed, but it is getting better. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I question John here when he says that this darkness is passing. To me, it appears that the darkness is getting darker. I find that as I look into the books that I have, that the word darkness or dark is used some 163 times. And in each case, as I looked, I didn't look at all of them, but I looked at a majority of them. And in each case, darkness means sin, punishment, despair, darkness, this darkness. John is writing and he is saying, because the darkness is passing, it's going to get better. The true light now shineth. We find that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He should be the light of our lives as we go about living in this old dark world. But take courage. According to John, this darkness is passing. We find here, if we look into the Word of God in the Old Testament, we find that the law is telling man, if a man do such and such, he shall live. We now live in the age of grace. And grace would tell us, if a man live, he shall do. And our purpose is to walk as He walked. We find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, basically, verse 9, verse 10, and verse 11 all go together. And we find here in chapter 2, verse 9, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." He has never seen the light. Verse 10, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." The contrast is very vivid here. If we say that we are in the light and hate our brother in Christ, or our brother even who is unsaved, we're in darkness even until now. "He that liveth or loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him." He walks even as Christ walked. It's almost as walking in the same footsteps that Christ has walked. Verse 10 Loving a fellow believer is the test of genuine faith. Hatred of a fellow believer is evidence that a person is not in the light. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground. It's either or. Nancy and I, we have a good time, even as old folks, living together. I told her on the way over, you know what? I used to, in the early days of our marriage, used to look forward to living, getting old with you. And I said, we've accomplished that. We've accomplished that. But we find here that there's no middle ground. We sometimes don't know what we want for a meal, for breakfast or for supper. And we'll go at one another, well, what do you want? Well, whatever you want. And we go like that for quite a while. And I say, okay, we've got two choices. And I'll give her the two choices. We can either have bacon and eggs and toast, or we can have pancakes and waffles. Which one? Oh, you pick. I say, no, you pick. Well, you brought up pancakes and waffles or bacon and eggs. I said, you pick. No, it's either or. Which one do you want? And you know what will finally come to pass? I make that decision. She never makes that decision. But boy, I love her anyway. I was talking to a friend the other day, and he was talking about his wife and maybe some of her minus characteristics. And I said, yeah, I know what you mean. I said, Nancy wears makeup all the time, and, you know, I'm against her wearing makeup. And he looked at me a little bit odd, like, you know, head cocked. And I said, I'm against it every chance I get. Yeah. Either or, you see, it's no middle ground between light and darkness. There's no middle ground between love and hatred. There's no middle ground between life and death. God and the world, wherever spiritual life is, however weak, the darkness is dying. There's death. The flesh, the world, the hatred for one another, however glossed over and hideth or hidden from man's observation, prevail. It's either or. Said some 162 times the word darkness is used in Scripture. And in each case, the word is used referring to nothing good, nothing happy, nothing to look forward to. Darkness. We have an example in the Lord Jesus Christ on how to walk. Are we walking the best we can in that example? As God leads us, as the Holy Spirit ministers, are we responding? Are we doing what we should be doing as a believer? Is our life consistent with what we say concerning our position in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we have that walk that characterizes us as a believer? We should. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We're so grateful, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself on the cross that we might have everlasting life. We thank you, Father, that because of him we're given freely that gift of eternal life in heaven with you forever and ever. Father, we pray that we might observe how Christ walked, and to the best of our ability, being led by the Holy Spirit, empowered by your Holy Spirit, Father, that we might walk as Christ walked. Father, we thank you so much that Christ is in heaven even now, being our advocate for those things in our life that are not the way they should be. But Father, we ask you to continue to minister to us as your children that you love, Father, that I know you probably think of us as your little children, and we're so grateful for that. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.